You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Of course, you might not be back. This might be your first time. And if it's the first time, welcome to the show. I hope you like it. Let's see. Nothing too crazy at the moment, but I have to do a little flip-flop from what I normally do. Lately, I've had a bunch of people that I've ran into in not a bunch, but a handful of people that I've ran into in real life and in email and a few other places, where I'm always curious when they find the show for the first time, where they found it. And it used to be that most people found it through Instagram, which is the social channel I've talked about that I'm on and enjoy the most. So that makes a lot of sense. But lately, I've had a lot of people say they found it through other means or through telling friends or something. And I think that's the most powerful thing out there is when you tell your friend, hey, listen to this show. I think you're really going to like it as your friend. I know you and I'm giving you a little present by telling you about this show. So give your friends a present. Tell them about the show if you haven't already. Just, send them a text. Be like, check this episode out if this one does it for you. Or check the last episode out. Whatever. Just share it with one person. That helps out so much more than you could possibly imagine. It's just good for everybody involved. Good for the show. Good for your friend. And good for you because you did a nice thing. So, but seriously, sharing helps a ton. And so for everyone that's done that, thank you very much. Really, really appreciate that. And speaking of Instagram, if you are not following the show on Instagram, it's at The Tone Mob, and I'm posting nonstop gear stuff. I mean, I post some other things too, but it's always pedals. I'm doing a lot of videos for IGTV, so if that's your thing, you want to hear some of the sounds, the weird stuff that I'm creating. I've been doing a lot of stop motion things, so Instagram is where I put most of the content that I create, minus this podcast, obviously. So if that's your thing, check it out there. And yeah, without further ado, we'll get into this episode with Mr. Tommy Mars. If you don't know who he is, check out his podcast called Sound Vapors. He's also part of, obviously, the Tommy Mars Band, and he explains all that stuff. He's a really cool guy. He's fun to talk to. His show's a lot of fun, and he talks to some really high-profile, interesting people on there. So you slide over and check that out if you're into guitar and music-based podcasting, which you probably are. So anyway, without further ado, here's Mr. Tommy Mars. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Tone Mob Podcast, the show about guitar tone and the people behind it. I'm your host, Blake Weiland, and with me today, I have Tommy Mars. How's it going, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh yeah, glad to do it. This is a lot of fun. Thanks for getting in touch and everything. This should be a fun episode.
Heck yeah, I want to talk about some guitar tone. Love it.
Oh, guitars. We don't talk about that on this show. We mostly talk about our food preferences. So this is going to be a little bit of a different thing than maybe you signed up for.
Well, salad. I like salads, so that's good.
Boy, this is the wrong podcast for you then, if it's all about salad.
Sorry, man.
Sorry, man. No, maybe we could just jump right into everything. Give everybody, what's your musical backstory? How did you get here? And then we can get into gear stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm, it's weird. It's kind of an annoying thing. I have the Tommy Mars stuff. So that's like, I would say my singer-songwriter. I have a pop thing. I like pop music, but like the Tommy Mars Band that's the rock stuff. That's the dirty stuff, I'm a grunge kid, man. I love grunge rock and roll. And that's more of that stuff. But when I say annoying, it's a little annoying just that, I don't know. I kind of wish it was a different name because I think people get confused. So I have, people that are listening to music on the Tommy Mars Spotify, and then there's the Tommy Mars Band Spotify, and they get a message like, wait, what is this? So
gotcha.
Yeah, so it's kind of it's a weird thing, but anyhow, so how that basically started was I was in a band and then with these two other guys, Brian and Jason, and the other guy that was in it, we split ways, and so the three of us said, "Hey, let's carry on," and we started another band called Go to Zero, and we wanted to rename it and kind of just refocus our energy on doing like alternative rock because the other one was kind of bluesy. So then I had a buddy that played guitar, and I really wanted to make it a four piece because I kind of wanted to try to do like the front guy thing. You know, I love playing guitar, but I kind of wanted to try that and see if I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we did, you know, we formed the band, and then around here, I'm from Detroit, and, you know, just around the city, things kind of started to happen. That buzz, you know, that sort of thing started to happen. We started playing shows, and then all of a sudden people were lined up outside the door. The local radio stations kind of got involved, started playing our tracks, you know, that kind of stuff. And it was kind of really exciting. And then, I don't even know the years, man. It was like 4 or 5 years later, I got this bug. Hey, I want to record, not a solo record, because that sounds so like douchey, but I want to record some other stuff that's not like rock and roll music. I want to do kind of some poppy singer-songwriter type stuff. And I was really getting into John Mayer right about that time. So I was like, okay. So Jason, my drummer, I was like, hey, let's focus and let's do this kind of singer-songwriter poppy thing. And he was totally on board. So we're recording and doing this weird stuff or whatever. And then something weird happened. So the last day that was supposed to be the last day of recording in the studio, I was already there and Jason walks in and I have like all the mics set up and everything. And he's kind of like, what's going on, dude? And I'm like, I want to do a cover song for the record, for the solo record. And he was like, okay. And I told him it's going to be Faith by George Michael. And he was like, really? Like, I didn't even know you like George Michael. And I was like, yeah, I'm actually a big fan. I think he's got a great voice. So that day we recorded, you know, we tried some, I don't know what I thought was weird stuff. You know, it was actually Jason's idea to mic some stairs that were in the studio, and we did some stomps and all this kind of stuff. Cause I want to make it like the same, but different type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I recorded it that day. Yeah. And I thought it turned out pretty good. So long story long, I was like, hey, seems like it might be one of the better songs on this solo record. So let's shoot a video for it. Called up a friend of mine, said, hey, do you want to be in the video? And it was just kind of off the cuff stuff. So we put it together, put it out. And then George Michael, he retweeted it to his followers.
Oh, nice.
And it was like, yeah. So I was like, what? This is insane. Because it was one of those things where the views were happening. And I didn't know at first. It was like, you know, overnight, it was like 20,000, then 25,000, 30,000. I'm like, what? I am not that popular. You know what I mean? Like it should be 300, you know? And so this girl I know, she sends me a text and she's like, oh my God, Tommy. She's like, George Michael retweeted your video, or tweeted, not retweeted, because I didn't tag him. He tweeted the video out to his followers. And I was like, oh my gosh. So that kind of started that whole thing. And then I don't know, like sometimes this happens in this business. It's funny. I feel like we made two really great, you know, really just like, just good rock music, rock albums and stuff. And it did well locally, but you know, maybe on a little regional basis, you can play some shows outside of your home base, but all of a sudden this video kind of gets out there. And then, you know, then this other stuff starts to happen where, you know, you get placements on TV shows, you know, and, you know, sync placements are a really good thing for an artist up and coming. Cause it gives you a little bit of income and a little bit of exposure and stuff. And so that whole crazy thing happened.
Sorry to interrupt. It's funny. I just heard that term for the first time today, which is strange for how long I've, you know, known about, you know, certain aspects of the music business. But I'm guessing if I just heard it for the first time, some of my listeners probably don't know what that means either. Could you elaborate? I actually heard it on heard the Black Keys talking about it on Rogan. Is why I heard it.
Oh, nice.
But so anyway, could you elaborate on what that means? What's sync music?
Okay, so like when you license your music and they get like what they call like a synchronization license, and they basically put your music on a show. So they'll be, sometimes it's really easy. They'll take a snippet of your song and they'll put it in the background of something that's happening in the TV show. Sometimes, like for instance, what happened with me was that started to happen with Faith, but all of a sudden, the other thing was, do you have anything else? And I, be honest, I can't remember the name. I should have looked this up, but there's something, and I can't remember the name, but it's where you go in from a commercial and out to a commercial. And they're like, oh, can you take this other song you have, Only Human, and make these, I can't think of the name, make these things for it. And I was like, yeah, no problem. So They use those for like some of the MTV stuff when they went to commercial or out. And it's like really not my music. It's really just beats. So there's, my voice is not on it at all. So you wouldn't even know it was me. But yeah, that was my stuff doing that.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. So when you do that, there's other things that come along with that. So for instance, I had a couple of songs they used them on a couple episodes of For Carson Daly, right? So there was like, you know, when they're going out of commercial, sometimes they're coming in and then they use them for like background stuff. So they might be talking to an artist and like, you know, a song is playing in the background, that kind of stuff. Sync for that is so important because every time it gets reran, I get a check. You know what I mean?
Okay. I get
money. So it's kind of a neat thing when you kind of put that net out there and hopefully you get, you know, 5, 6, 7 sync placements. And then, you know, it's kind of just, you have people getting that money for you. It's not like I don't go out there and search for it. Like there's, you know, you join BMI or ASCAP or something like that, or, you know, I use SongTrust and, you know, they're diligent about going out there and make sure you're getting all the royalties that you deserve.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I hope that answers the question. I don't know.
I think hopefully. So. Yeah. I think that's pretty clear. It's basically music. You let people use your music for certain limited things, basically.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Sorry to derail that train. I just knew there was probably a couple people sitting there going, I don't know what that means, because that's what I was doing earlier and had to look it up.
So. Hey, that's cool. The Joe Rogan that you mentioned that. Oh, so I haven't listened or watched to that episode on the Rogan Show with Black Keys, but man, I've been kind of binging on his stuff. The James Hetfield one was, did you see that one?
I did not. Is that pretty recent?
No, actually, I think it's a couple years ago. So I'm like way.
Okay.
It's awesome.
I don't really dive into his back catalog. He just puts out so many podcasts that when I just see a name that I like, I'm like, ah, that one, that'll do for today. You know, so I don't catch them all, but of course I seen Black Keys and I was like, well, I'm going to listen to anything with Dan and Patrick talking about stuff, like big fans. So
yeah, for sure.
Anyway, so you started getting some sync placements and then what? Then what? I derailed the story from there.
Oh, you know, it was one of those things where, okay, yeah. So the truth is, I had like the Facebook page and, you know, the Twitter page and all this stuff. And it was, okay, so we're at Crossroads. I didn't think it's a Crossroads. But anyhow, so it was like Go to Zero had been around a while. And sometimes when you don't really make it fully, you don't make it big, sometimes it's best just to change the name. It's like, you ever watch The Wire? You ever see The Wire?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So there's a part, I think it's season 2, where Stringer Bell's talking about changing the name from WorldCom and, you know, all those things. And whatever they had there, WMD and, you know, all the other names they called their product. But I know this is way stretch here, but sometimes it's best to just kind of rename something and then come back fresh and strong. And I felt like Go to Zero, I felt like it was very early 2000s of type of a name. Okay. So if you make it really big, like, you know, Green Day is Green Day because it's, you know, it's Green Day. They're supposed to be big, but you probably wouldn't name a band Green Day today. It doesn't, in today's music landscape, it just doesn't seem like that would be like a new band coming out. So how I felt was, so Go to Zero was like, I felt like it kind of been aged and we did what we had to do. So the Tommy Mars stuff, I felt like was getting some heat and it was kind of going somewhere and the Facebook page was getting kind of busy. I mean, we were getting more than I ever thought. Thousands of people were following the page and it was just kind of organically and people were sharing Faith, you know, the video and stuff. And so that time comes where I did the singer-songwriter thing and it was awesome. I loved doing the pop songs, but I was ready to rock. I was ready. I was like, okay, dude, I'm ready to write some killer rock songs and I have these ideas. So now it's, you know, it's time to decide, are we going to do it a Go to Zero album? So around this time, Brian, who started Go to Zero with us, you know, he was kind of transitioning out of being in rock and roll type of deal. And he's a tremendous bass player. So all these things are kind of happening. And so Jason and Chris, Chris was playing guitar with me and Go to Zero, and Jason's a drummer. And we kind of just got together, three of us. And I was like, Chris, man, do you want to move the bass and we'll do the trio thing? You know, Nirvana, The Police, you know, some of my favorite trios, you know, Silverchair. And, he was about it. He was like, oh yeah, that's killer, man. That'll be awesome. And I know he could handle the bass because he's a really good guitar player. Right. So, and you know, for me, I was like, I didn't really want to play the bass and I like to jump on stage and jump and maybe jump off an amp or something. I mean, I just didn't want to do that with the bass. I want to do it with guitar, you know, Jimmy Page, man, what the heck? Jimmy Hendrix, you know, like I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so here's the ideas for songs. They love the ideas. And so I said, okay, we're going to do it as a 3-piece. So I was like, the name, should we keep it Go to Zero? And so both of them were like, no, I think we should call it Tommy Mars Band. And I kind of voted against it. I was like, I just feel like, I think I used the word douche earlier. I felt like douchey, man. Like, no, like I don't want to call it Tommy Mars Band.
I don't want to be that guy. Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy. You know, I'm not like not John Mayer. I'm not you know, one of these guys that names a band after, you know, it just didn't feel right. So we talked a while. This was weeks. We kind of going back and forth, and now we're kind of really developing these songs. And I don't know, the page was really busy. The Twitter account started to get a lot of followers or whatever. So it was like, all right, I think you guys are right. I think there's a lot of heat on the Tommy Mars thing. So let's do it. Let's just call it that. And we'll just rebrand it that way and go forward. And so we did. And I think it was 2015. Yeah. Yes. 2015. We put out Bringing Alpha, and it was just a really rock. It was just a rock album. And I don't even know what to classify. Some people say, you know, I always have those grunge influences. So I love Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam, you know, Stone Temple Pilots. So of course it's going to have some of that in there, but I felt like it kind of had some of the new stuff, like the newer Foo Fighters type stuff. What it didn't have though, is like you mentioned Black Keys. It didn't have that kind of sound, which I love that sound, but it didn't have that kind of new rock sound. It still was that post grunge rock.
Right? Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah,
so that happened. And then, I signed up with I got a management company, and they were, you know, really making things and taking really good care of me and making sure, you know, again, with sync placements and all that. Now they're kind of like really kind of handling all that stuff. And then, you know, the next thing you know, the pages, they get verified and social media, and it sucks. That's the way our world is, because it's kind of a joke, to be honest with you, that's kind of how it is. But it really holds a lot of water in that realm, in social media, you know, having those pages. A lot of people, they kind of follow you because they're thinking, oh, this guy is, or this band is, they're verified. They got a blue check mark. They must be important. You know, that type of thing, which is, I don't really buy into all that stuff, but I know that's the kind of the way the social media world works, right?
Yes. I've been trying to get a blue check. They think I'm a fake person, I guess. They don't.
Oh, hey, Instagram, Twitter, he is real. Let me tell you, man, he's real.
I'm an actual human. Yes, I exist.
With a killer show. Yeah. And you have a killer show, man.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah, we need a tweet at Twitter support or something. But anyhow, so those things happen, and then it just kind of started getting bigger, you know. And then, you know, in between all this, playing shows and playing shows with cool bands and big bands, and some of them are one-off shows, some of them are little tours, some of them are festival shows, you know, all these kind of things. And it just, you know, you start to make friends, and then, you know, I mean, next thing you know, it's like, okay, I'm gonna write another album. You know what I mean?
Right,
I
said, I'm going to
start writing. And yeah. And it's weird because I feel like right now, I feel like an old man. Okay. That's what I feel like. I feel like an old man, but I feel like this is like the biggest it's been. And then it's been for us. And then the other side of that too is, I don't know how deep you want to go into like the Sound Vapors thing, but that thing.
No,
is,
I do want to talk about that. That was going to be my next line of question. So just go for it.
Oh, well, you know, that thing has just been growing and actually, to be honest, that thing is spinning out of control. Like I never really thought it would. And here's the honest God truth. Okay. So in 2017, my dad passed. Okay. So it had I think of anybody, you know, you lose a parent. And let me just say this too, is I've had friends that lost parents, and I was always like sympathetic and always sad, of course, especially when you know that you lose anybody, you just really feel that emotional thing happens. But when you lose a parent, it's different. I just couldn't put into words. And I knew 110%. I knew how I was going to feel. I knew how I was going to handle it. I was wrong 110%. Like I was so wrong.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And it was just, I had people tell me, and now I'm that guy trying to tell people, oh, you don't understand, but you'll get it when you get it. You know, you can't, it's like telling a child that they're making mistakes. They'll figure it out. You know what I mean? They're going to figure it out at some point. Anyway, so that event happened, and I don't know, that writing thing, the thing that happens to guys like us that write music, it just happened. And I didn't try to, it wasn't contrived. I didn't sit down and say, I'm going to write these songs about my day. It wasn't like that at all. It just kind of happened. I was having these emotional series of episodes, because I didn't do anything drastic or anything. I didn't, you know, I wouldn't self-loathe, or, you know, I didn't have a drinking problem. It wasn't anything like that. I was just sad, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think about those good times and bad times. And I think luckily I was able to channel that into songs. And so Jason, like I mentioned, you know, he's a drummer, but he has this, he has a really, really gift of an ear. And so what I mean is he just hears harmonies and tone. It's weird because he doesn't really play guitar or bass or anything. Like, he doesn't really play instruments besides the drums, but he hears things that I've been around producers and musicians and all this stuff. They don't hear like the way Jason hears it. It's very, very odd that he does. So he kind of is, I would say he's my partner in crime when it comes to like getting the songs to where they need to go. Cause I'll come up with the base of it. I'll record drum tracks. I'll record bass and guitar, get them all these basic tracks. And he comes over and we kind of just finish them. You know what I mean? And he helps me with these harmonies. And anyhow, Jason came over and I was like, let's get in the studio. And I want to start getting this stuff down. So we did. And I thought the songs came out really, really good. I was really so happy with, I felt like it was a good tribute to him and stuff. And so we covered a song by STP, was called Tumble in the Rough. And I always wanted to do a Stone Temple Pilots song, but I didn't want to do, you know, I don't want to do Plush. I don't want to do Tripping on a Hole, something that you just, people know. I wanted to do something that was, you knew the song, but it wasn't like a big hit. So I was like, let's do Tumble in the Rough and let's do it kind of trippy, kind of poppy or not poppy's not the right word, but it's different, you know, different than how they did it. And I think that would kind of do it justice and it fits with the overall theme of this album. And so the album was called 71 Trips Around the Sun because he was 71 when he passed. And it just it really fit into this sometimes agony, but elation, you know, all these kind of things. So it just really fit in there. And one quick note I want to tell you about Tumble in the Rough was, if you ever get a chance to go listen to it, the solo, I just want to say, took longer than the whole song to record, because I wanted to play it backwards to put it forwards. So I had to, each note had to play it in reverse so we could turn it around. So it would sound like a reverse thing, but in the right key or the right notes. Does that make sense?
Oh, I think I'm following you. So you're like, playing the, like, where he would maybe, I haven't literally paid much attention to that solo, so I'm not exactly sure what it sounds like, but maybe like where he would pull off, you would hammer on or something, or I'm not really.
Yeah. Well, so take the solo and then I had to like deconstruct it. I wanted to start at the end of it. So play it backwards.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
So then reverse it. So it sounded like it was in reverse, but it's actually the correct notes.
Yes.
So that took it took longer to record that solo than it was a whole song. And the funny thing is nobody notices. Nobody cares. I don't think anybody's ever said, oh, that solo. I'm just like, damn it. I'm like, would you listen to this? This is cool. But anyway, that's a stupid side note. Anyway, so we recorded that. We shot a video for it. And the video, same thing. Now, STP didn't tweet it out, but, you know, put it out. And, like, people responded to it. You know, I got a lot of messages for it. And people were sharing it. And that video did well on YouTube as well. And I'm so thankful that people kind of, they just seem to get behind us. I don't really know why, but I'm just so thankful for it. Okay, so that whole long story goes to put out that record. So that came out in February of 18. So yeah, last year.
Okay.
February of last year. Yeah. So around that time, STP, they put out the new single with Jeff Koop. It was like I think it was a self-titled, and they have their new singer after Chester passes, you know, Scott and Chester. And now Jeff is the lead singer. They put this record out and I listened to it and I'm like, wow, I expected something different from the way he sang on, I think it was America's Got Talent. I think that's where he's from. So the way he sang on there, I thought was very, how do I say this? It's very vibrato-esque. Like, I thought it was too much. And I really thought, I'm not going to like that fit in STP. But got the record and I was like, oh my gosh, it is not that at all. It's great. It's so much. I think I went into it with a lower expectation where I was kind of blown away. So I'm reading the reviews that are online or whatever. And this one guy for this one magazine, I'm not even going to name names, but I know his name and the magazine's name. He wrote this review and it was awful. It was awful. I was literally reading it saying, have you ever listened to Stone Temple Pilots? Do you know who they are? Do you know who Stone Temple Pilots is? You know what I mean? That's how I felt when I was reading it. And he's like citing things where Jeff is trying to sound like Scott right here. And I'm just like, no, not at all. And it's in like a different spot. So yeah, I was kind of mad. So I was kind of telling my friends, whatever. And I told my manager, I was like, Emily, I was just like pissed off that this guy wrote this whole article. He took the time to do it, but it was like, you don't have to like it. I'm not telling you to like it. I'm just saying is you're reviewing it wrong. You're saying you're not, you're not listening to it right. You know what I mean? That's how I felt. So she's like, you should write your own review. I was like, yeah, I am going to write my review. And she goes, yeah, maybe we'll try to pitch it, you know, get you as a guest contributor or something to a blog or a magazine or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I am going to do it. So I wrote it and I sent it. She was like, wow, that's really good. So I sent it to my friends and they read it and they were just like, wow, like, I didn't know you could write. And I was like, I'm not a writer. I mean, I write songs, but I don't, you know, I mean, commas are in the wrong place. You know, my punctuation is like seriously third grade level here. So, I mean, I went to Detroit Public Schools, man. I had long division like in like eighth grade or something there. It was awful. Anyway, so people were kind of saying it's good or whatever. So anyway, so a couple other records came out and I was like, yeah, I'm going to just, you know, kind of give this a quick listen and write something about it. Anyway, so that whole thing kind of happened. And I was like, I should make a website, but I don't want to pay somebody to do it. And I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to try to build this website. So I took like 2 or 3 weeks and just learned off of YouTube, basically how to WordPress a website. So I did that. So I made the site and I published the couple reviews that I had. And I have some contacts and, you know, music or whatever. Look, fortunate to have that. So I reached out to a couple and I was like, hey, you know, such and such is going on tour and they have a new record. Can you get them on the phone so I can talk to them about it and stuff? And it was just like, yeah, for sure. You know? So I did that. So I get like my, you know, interviews. And it's weird because when you start these things, like, it's just like music. It's just like us. You start at the local level, you're playing shows at, you know, Whoop Ass Wednesdays, you know, that type of thing, you know, wherever, how you start when you're like that band, you know, and then you move up to Thursdays and next thing you know, you're playing a Saturday night show and, you know, and then hopefully you do well enough, you're drawing and then they put you on a national show and stuff. That's kind of like the, I would say, trajectory of when you're like a local band starting out. So same thing with this kind of stuff. When you're blogging or on a website, I would say, yeah, I got some low hanging fruit in this city where I could go to these shows and talk to these bands. They would love to be on any kind of blog. It doesn't matter if I had 2 readers or 3 million readers. They just like to be on a blog. Of course, they'd want to be on, you know, Revolver or Rolling Stone, of course. But my first interview I had for the site was, you know, Doug from Hoobastank. You know, I'm like, it was the very first thing I did.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm like, kind of throw me in a fire, right? So it went very well. It was a great interview. So I did it and, you know, sent it out, whatever. And, you know, they put it out to their fans and, you know, people, it just, the page started to get follows and all this stuff. And I was like, wow, that was really weird. You know, they put it out, they think, you know, Sound Vapors, you know, and I was thinking of the name of it. And I was like, Sound Vapors. I don't even know if that's cool or whatever, but it's kind of first thing I thought of, you know, Sound Vapor, like we're sound guys, right? So sound, and then the vapor of it kind of just, like dissipating is what mm-hmm. I was envisioning.
But, yeah, you
know,
I dig it.
You know how many vaping emails I get? Actually, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. All the time, dude. I never really thought about that, but yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I get it.
Oh man, I got 5 distributors I could call right now if I wanted to open a store. Okay, so <they're>, anyway, so it was like that happened, and then I was like, oh, this is kind of neat, and. Anyways, it just started from there. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, Kenny Wayne Shepherd and Rich Robinson. And then, you know, just, I don't know, just kind of blew up from there. So now it's like kind of gone crazy. And so last year I was like, I should just do a podcast with it because I enjoy talking to people. And I think people would like to hear what they have to say, hear the tone of their voice sometimes with these answers instead of just reading it.
Yes.
So like for me, I think one of the biggest moments I had doing this whole thing was with Stuart Copeland, because the Police are like 1A, you know, 1B for me as far as like bands go, all time favorites. And getting Stuart on the phone and having him be so cool and so nice and so accommodating, people didn't really get to hear that. They read it, but they didn't get to hear, I think, the joy in his voice talking about Synchronicity and thinking about Miss Grudenko and the song that he wrote. They didn't really get to hear his voice tick up when he was excited talking about it. Yeah. Right. Or hear my voice when he's like, he tells me, he's like, hey, Tommy, I think I had this box I was going through from the 83 tour. And he goes, I think I found the original lyrics to Miss Grudenko, you know? And I was like, no way. So I was like, can you take a picture and, you know, send it to me or whatever? He's like, yeah, I can do that. I think if you were to hear my voice, I just said it calmly. I wasn't calm when it happened on the actual interview, you know? And then he like texts me the picture of the lyrics. And I was, you know, it was one of those things where I was like, okay, I didn't want to touch my phone because I didn't want to delete it by accident. You know, like, hey, yeah. Can you send it again? Yeah. So you know, it's one of those things where I was like, okay, I should do a podcast for this because I'm really kind of getting to talk to some interesting, amazing artists. And so now this, so here we are now with Sound Vapors doing its thing. And I'm like truly, truly busy with it. Like it seems like every day and email box is full every day. And I try to get to everything. Seriously, bands keep sending the stuff in because to me, good music is good music. I don't even care if you're Lenny Kravitz or you're, I can't think of a dumb name, but you know, the I don't know, the guitar cases.
Kenny Blavis. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. If it's awesome, I want to talk about it and I want to tell people, I want to promote it. So there's this one publicist. This is late last year. She sends me an email and I saw it, but I was just kind of crazy busy doing with the podcast. It was really kind of gearing up. So I was just killing them, you know, getting a lot of them out. She sends me a second follow-up and I'm like, okay, I got to get to this. Don't know who the band is. Never heard of them. She sends me a final, hey, I just want to follow up one final time type of thing, you know, that type of, and it wasn't, hey, how's it going? It was like, hey man, I just want to follow up, you know? So I opened it, I'm like, dude, I got to get to this. It's around the holiday, so I'll have some time. So I listened to the thing, man. I listened to it and I'm blown away. It's not even the word. Oh my goodness. That's not a word. That's two words. Okay. It's not even the phrase, right?
I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I listened to it and I listened to it again. And so now I'm probably on the 20th listen. And so like what I do is with the album is I always play Madden, but I play like 2000, it's like 2006. Because I can't stand the way that video games move so fast nowadays. So I have to play the old version because it's kind of like really awful and barbaric. Like the guy's arms don't move, that type of stuff. So I play, so stupid. So I play Madden when I'm really locking in into an album. So this whole thing, I must have played, 4 hours. I just kept repeating this album over and over and over. So at the end of the year, I wanted to do a best of top 10 list. And I wanted to be true. If it's a local band, I didn't even know who it was. Come to find out. So the band's name is Face in New York. I tell everybody is so sick of me talking about these guys because anytime somebody gets in my car, I'm like, dude, you got to hear this song. Yeah, I was with you last week. Like they already heard the whole album because I say one song. Yeah. Like, oh, well, listen to track three, you know? So the guy that's the singer, writer, you know, songwriter, whatever in it, he goes by Ricky Reed. And Ricky Reed is an enormously huge producer. Huge. I mean, CeeLo Green to Maroon 5 to 21 Pilots to, I think, Sia. I mean, he's just Meghan Trainor. He's the man when it comes to like that kind of production.
Mm-hmm.
But this album was Face New York. I didn't know, never heard of it. I didn't know it was him. So going into, I have no idea who the band is. I don't know who's in it. So it was so true. It was so genuine where I fell in love with the album. So as I'm making the list, I had to put it number one. And I actually got some crap on Twitter. Like, you got to look, a local no-name band is number one. But I'm like, I try not to argue on Twitter, especially with, you know, the way things are with social media. It can kind of get crazy, but
feeding the trolls.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's like, here's some fire here. Have some. Mm-hmm. So you want some gasoline on it? So some people were just like, I can't believe you have this as the number one album. And I'm like, I guess I say is, did you listen to it? So if you're a rock fan and you listen to it and you don't like it, it's okay. But at least listen to it and come at me with your own top five or top 10 list. Just don't say mine sucks. You know what I mean? Like I put the time in and I listened to every album that was on that top 10 list. So it that band for me turned, I think it's one of those things I always say, I wear it almost like a badge of honor, is it doesn't matter if it's Pearl Jam putting out a record or Face in New York, who people still don't know who they are. I just want it to be good music. So bands, if you're listening, you know, send the albums. If I can get to them all, I try to get to everything, but if I get to it and I like it, I'm going to put something behind it. Definitely. Cause it doesn't matter if it's big or small. I just want it to be great music. Yep. Sounds like a commercial.
That is the most important part, right? It just has to be good. I mean, that's kind of, you know, it sounds kind of weird, but you know, going back to that Black Keys episode I was talking about. So Dan said something, or not Dan, excuse me, Patrick said something on there because Patrick did most of the talking that really struck me as interesting that I never put two and two together before. So obviously those guys are big music fans. You know, they're talking about Nirvana and Captain Beefheart and the Stooges and, you know, all those influences.
Nice.
And then he was talking about some certain artists who have like millions and millions and millions of plays on streaming, and you listen to them and you're just like, what? Like, huh? Yeah. Like, why? And he's like, when I was a kid, I bought Vanilla Ice, and I was so stoked on that. And I listened to it over and over and over and over and over and over again. He's like, that's who's listening to these artists. It's just young kids who don't actually he's not like belittling them, but he's just like, it's just kids who haven't had the depth of experience yet to know that this is kind of mediocre, you know? And I was like, oh, wow. I never really thought about it that way. It's like, that's why some of these people have millions and billions of plays in it, and I just don't get it. I mean, part of it's because I'm old. There's that too.
Oh, but I'm totally with hey, man, brother, I am with you on that, because I do sometimes I go and look, see that, like, wait a minute, wait. 3 million streams on this song? It sounds like it was recorded on their phone or whatever. And actually, yeah, what he says holds water, because I think when I was younger, actually the Vanilla, I had the tape. So it was like, to the extreme and hooked, right? So I had the cassette tape. So I did listen to it over and over. But yeah, man, when I got older, I don't know. Yeah, it definitely didn't mean as much as it did when I was that age listening to Ice Ice Baby.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I just thought it was a kind of an interesting note, since we're kind of going on music industry speak a little bit, you know. It's just kind of a interesting thing. But talk about your podcast a little bit more. So like, what's the format of it? Like, obviously it's interviews, but it's different than this. So can you kind of explain that for the listeners a little bit?
Yeah, it's probably honestly, it's yours. Okay, I've been listening to your podcast, and I like your structure. It just sounds so professional. You just sound like you have a real thing. Mine, I feel like, is just, you have to bleep me out, a crap show. You know what I mean? Like, it sometimes the episode's 30 minutes. Sometimes it's an hour 14, just because, you know, sometimes I feel like it's all over the place, and I don't want to belittle it, but I just like to talk about music. So sometimes if I get on a rant, or if I get on a subject that I'm really passionate about, I can't help it, you know? So I say my format is I like top 10 lists. I'm a big top 10 guy. So even at Sound Vapors, there's a top 10 tab, and random. I mean, literally 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll wake up and say, ooh, I should do a top 10 on this. I'm like, I got to pull out my computer and start putting it on, you know, either in an email or even put it on the site, because I like top 10 lists a lot. So
okay.
I always try to do that. Yeah. Every show I will try to do a top 10. So for instance, I had Meltdown. He's from a radio station here in Detroit, but it's like the big hitter radio station. You know, it's been the rock station, the number one rock station since I've been a kid, you know? So it's the one. And so I tried to do, you know, top Detroit sports athletes. So I do try to put it around the show a little bit. And I think I had, I don't know who I did the drummer list with. It might have been Veronica Bellino. Do you know Veronica?
I don't.
You know, you should reach out. She's a drummer, but she is so talented. But she plays drums. She's played drums with everybody. Jeff Beck, DMC, Daryl McDaniels, wow. Carmen Appice. I'm trying to think. She plays with everybody. And I think I did the drum. I might be wrong here. I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but I think I did the top 10 drummers, my favorite drummers, with her, just because just talking drums with her was so good. And I was like, yeah, I'll just keep you on 15, 20 minutes. It was like an hour, you know, and either one of us was sick of talking, because we just both like talking about drums and music, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would say the show is kind of that. If I'm really in the mood, or I have time, I will put drops in just to try to, I don't try to be funny. I think some things are funny. Like, I like drops from Dumb and Dumber. I just think when I hear them, I laugh, even if it's in the wrong spot. I just think they're, I think they're very funny, you know? So that kind of stuff. And then, like I said, you know, the interview, I don't want to be hokey though at all, because I love talking music and like your podcast, Tone. I like talking about tone of guitar. So I was talking to Chad Taylor from Live, and we, it was supposed to be promoting their new EP that just came out, last year, but we wound up talking a half an hour about Secret Samadhi, which I think it's in my top 100 all time, like all time records. It's probably, I actually have the list, but I think it's in the 60s somewhere. I think it's that great of an album. And it was, I mean, we must've went, I mean, it was like a good 10 real minutes of Tone and how he set up and the strings he was using and like the miking and the amp and all this stuff. And I don't know. I always get good feedback on the shows. People are always, if they text me or they send me an email or tweet, I feel like when they get something out of it, it's great. But I was almost like, man, people probably hate this because, you know, it's kind of getting like that technical side, but I loved it. I loved every second of it, you know?
Yeah, it's nerdy, but there's lots of nerds. People love hearing about that kind of stuff, especially when it's somebody they're interested in. You know, it's like, oh, that's how he got that sound. You know, that's the part I find so cool about, you know, being able to do this show and being able to have some exposure to that. It's like, oh, now we can like find out. Like before, when I was a kid, when you were growing up, it was like, how does he get that sound? You literally had no idea. Like you just had no clue. And now we have so much more access to information. We at least know, like, well, maybe this isn't exactly what they use, but we can get close. And then when you can hear it straight from the horse's mouth, it's just, oh, it all kind of just makes sense. It's really fun.
I mean, we had to wait for Circus Magazine to publish an article, you know, to hear, you know, what Alex Lifeson was doing on that Rush album, or Neil Peart or something like that. But now it's like, you're right, with all these things and podcasts, I mean, you can hear it from, and these people are really willing to come on a show and talk about, not just to promote the album. I mean, some people do. And that's okay, too. I mean, that's the forum for it. I'm more than happy to do it. But I'm surprised at the amount of people that want to talk about the specifics, the drum heads they use, you know, the gauge strings that they use and all this stuff. And then if we start talking about equipment, and then on those episodes, I guess I always say, too, is I never want to make it about me, because I always want it to be about them. So, you know, sometimes I'll tell them, hey, man, we have to put that crap in the show. We're talking about our, you know, the amps, and because sometimes they're genuine too. And they're like, oh, what's your setup? Like, what are you using? That type of thing. Because I think guitar players just like to talk to other guitar players and pick up any. I mean, there's legends that still pick up stuff. Everybody picks up tricks.
Oh, you know? Everybody. It never ends. Never.
Yeah. So, you know, that's so far as the show goes, you know, it's like I said, sometimes it's 30 minutes, sometimes it's an hour. It just depends on kind of how it goes, you know, how it flows. But I really, really enjoy it. And I hope to keep doing it, because the listeners, they just keep coming in. You know, it was weird. I had Wes Scantlin from Puddle of Mud on, and that was a couple weeks ago. And I had questions. You know, they have the new comeback record, which I really liked. I really enjoyed it. And it was on my radar. So when I talked to his publicist, you know, she reached out and was like, hey, can you do something with the album? And I was like, oh, I'd be happy to, because I knew it was coming out. I just didn't know when. So, you know, she advanced it and I'm listening to it. So when I get Wes on the show, I was kind of like, okay, I don't want to talk too much about, like, you know, arrests or drugs or anything like that, because I don't want to make him uncomfortable.
Right.
This guy is 5 minutes in the show and he starts going into it, and he's talking about, you know, how down in a hole in the pit, you know, of life he was in and stuff. And, you know, I had a list of questions, but it just really hit me. It was like, man, he wants to talk about this. And I think listeners would get something out of it. And it wound up being one of my favorite interviews, because he was so candid and he didn't hide anything. And I think it was really uplifting to hear him sound so lucid, so clear, and so motivated to come back and, like, really just to do the rock star thing again. And I'm pulling for him so much, because it'd be great if he sticks around and just keeps putting out good music and shows up to the shows and plays just killer rock shows, you know? And that one wound up being one of my more popular episodes. It's funny when you look at, I'm sure you do too, right? You can see the stats on it. And I'm looking at these numbers going up, and his is one of the most downloaded shows. It just kind of got out there. And I just didn't think that going into it, to be honest with you. I was like, oh yeah, you know, my normal audience will see it. No, man, people, they like it. They dig his story, man. And I dig it too. So.
Yeah. When you're doing these podcasts, it's sometimes you think it's going to be one thing. Like, you know, we should probably have talked about your pedal board by now, but we haven't quite done that yet.
Yes.
This girl, you've got to check her out if you haven't. She's been on the show. Her name's Emily Wolf, and she's from Austin. I don't know if you've seen her or not, but
I've seen her. She has YouTube, so I've seen her name, and I know I've seen something that she's done, so I know her name.
Yeah, you should do a deep dive onto her latest record. I mean, guitar tone and playing and singing is all out of control. It's so good. It's so good. I'm a big fan. And so it was neat to get to talk to her. But, you know, we got to another section of the show where we were going to wrap it up. And she started talking about some of her past with her substance abuse issues and things. And it was like, oh, this is taking a turn. Like, you know, and so all that to say. And yeah, I had a similar experience with Robert Keeley from, you know, Keeley Electronics early on, discussing some of his, you know, struggles. And it was just like, it was a kind of a slap in the face. It was like, I thought we were just going to talk about fuzz pedals.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you never know where these conversations can go. And so I think that's sometimes the most rewarding part of the experience, is getting to be open and hear what these other people have to say and kind of glean from their life experiences. And yeah, it's just one of the side benefits of podcasting, I suppose. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
It's such a, and it's a cool form that we have this, like this kind of, well, one, that we have this avenue to talk to people, but also for them to come on. I think it's therapeutic for everybody involved. I think it really can be, because, you know, I think there was a disconnect. If we look, I probably assume we're probably around the same age. So, you know, if you're looking 80s magazines and stuff, I mean, those questions were they're very vanilla, you know, they didn't really dig too deep, and, you know, but when you're in a podcast situation, I mean, again, I try to keep everybody comfortable, but sometimes you just want to know, and sometimes they're willing to open up with you. And I think this has been a great thing, you know, like anything else in the world, things can become oversaturated. So there are, I don't even know, there's probably a billion podcasts. I have no idea, but there's millions of podcasts out there. And
I think 700,000 was the number I heard last was where
is it 700,000?
Yeah.
Wow. That's less than I thought it would be. Yeah. That's a lot still, right?
Still a lot.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's good ones. There's bad ones like yours. I got turned on to, actually it was, how did I find you? I don't even know. I like tone stuff. So I'm always searching for that kind of stuff. And I was like, this dude gets it, man. You know, this guy, this is really cool. Cause nobody really talks about tone stuff. You know, it's like when I started interviewing, I didn't want to ask the stupid, hey, what's your band name mean? You know, sometimes you want to know, but like, I'd get that. Like if I got that question, what's your band name? I'm like, Tommy Mars Band. Like, come on, man. Like,
like what else do you want me to say? Right.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, like those kind of questions or whatever. Like I wanted to dig deeper. But I was surprised when I was kind of going out and listening, because I like to do research. It's like being a musician, you want to hear other guitar players and stuff. I kind of was listening to some and I was like, whoa, like these questions are like kind of bad, or it's very, it just didn't come out very well or whatever. I was like, okay, that's good. I heard that, because I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like that. But then I hear a really good one where I'm like, oh man, I could never be that good. You know, it's like your speaking voice. You have a great speaking voice. I don't, but I wish I did, but you have a great podcast speaking voice. You know what I mean? It's awesome. And I want to have that kind of voice, but you know, I mean, it is what it is, right?
Well, I really appreciate that. That means a lot. I also, one of the other things I have that is really I've been told many times is I have a face for it as well. So that works, that works out in my, no one has to look at
there
me.
You go, man.
Anyway,
there you go. But, you should put that mug on the photo on the podcast. Like, hey, right here, this is the guy you're talking to.
This is the guy. And then be like, oh, I'm not tuning into that. Look at that guy. Got to keep a veil of mystery. No.
Yeah.
No, it's, I'm around. It's just, I don't know. It's weird. I've always been weird about like taking selfies and stuff. And like, I don't know. But it still feels weird every time I do it. I'm like, am I a 14-year-old girl? I'm acting like one right now, cause I'm taking a picture of myself, but it's part of the culture, I suppose.
It is the culture. And on a personal level, I don't really love it. And so, I think we talked before, and I was saying about that, how, you know, it would be like, hey, Tommy, you're not posting enough. You need to post more, you know, band related stuff, take some selfies, put the pictures, keep people engaged and all that stuff. And it's just, you know, at the end of the year, you know, you can get a report of how many, whatever that is. So it's like, my thing was like, you know, you post one every 6 days, you know, that's like an average. And now I know it's even less than that, because I don't know, man. It's a weird culture. It's a weird thing that we're in right now. And I know I need to do it. And good things happen when I do. That's the thing. If I take a cool selfie, or if I'm somewhere or playing guitar in a studio, good things happen, man. You hashtag it, people start following you. I mean, it does work. It just seems a little weird to always put yourself out there like that. I guess if I was John Mayer, I guess I would do it as much as he does too. So,
well, if I looked like John Mayer, yeah, sure, I would. I mean, that makes
exactly
sense.
Yeah, I'd be on the toilet like, hey, guess what I'm doing? You know,
yeah, exactly.
And get a million likes.
Yeah, because I'm John Mayer. Look at me go.
Exactly.
So anyway. we're 46 minutes in, and we need I'm gonna be in trouble. I actually did a podcast here yesterday with a music therapist, which was really interesting. His name's Chris Millett. Ooh. And we didn't talk about gear at all, because the subject matter was so fascinating. So I'm going to have to let's sidestep before my entire audience leaves, and let's talk about your rig. What are you playing out with these days?
Okay, so the head I use mostly, for me, the tone is studio. I use it for the studio. I have a 1972 Marshall JMP.
It's
the tone is great. I think one disadvantage of it, I don't like to use the what is that attenuator? Whatever that.
The attenuator. Yeah.
Yeah, attenuator. I can never say that right. I don't like that because I don't want to beat it up. I don't want it to work that hard. So I don't want to use it in a live setting. And because it has everything is original. So George Mitropoulos is like the guru guy.
Yes.
And he's been, yes. Yeah. Oh, you would know him. Yeah, of course. So, mm-hmm. You know, he's been through it and it's, you know, got A+ health, but it has a lot of the original stuff that, you know, there's like lead and stuff they're not really making that you really can't get anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to take a chance of popping any of that stuff. So for me, I use it for studio so I can turn the knobs, you know, 10+, and I want it to burn and get that natural killer Jimi Hendrix kind of tone. I don't want to really use an effects pedal to get that distortion. I want it to be from the head. And, you know, you've been to live shows. If I turn a thing up to 10 and I play at a 3,000 seat venue, everybody's going to be deaf. They will not be able to hear for the next couple of days if I turn this thing up to 10. Like, seriously. Oh, yeah. Yeah. If I turn it up to 2.5 at a live setting, the sound guy's like, hey, can you turn it down? I mean, it's really loud. So in a studio setting, that's what I use for when I really want that dirty tone. I would say gigging out, I'm probably using the most, honestly, is a, oh, you know what? I got the Fender Deluxe and it's a 93. So it's actually not the reissue. It's actually one of the ones they came out with. And I like the tone of that. And it's nice because that's another thing too. You can turn it to like 4 and it really starts to beef up and the tubes get nice and hot and you don't got the sound guy, you know, running up behind you trying to turn it down. And, mm-hmm. You know, so that's pretty nice to play out with. I think if I was like on a big tour. Yeah. I mean, if you're playing amphitheater or something like that, you can, well, no, I'd like to have the Marshall up there because it's just cool. When that's behind you, it's like almost like a confidence boost, you know, like,
oh,
you
yes. got this
again. Yeah. It's just, you know, it doesn't hide mistakes, but it's a tone is awesome on it. So, but I'll say that Fender Deluxe. And then there's this, I have this orange, you know what it is? It's that, you ever see those tiny terrors?
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, it's like 15 watts or 7 watts. Dude, I'll put it on the 7 and you can put it to 10 and like, just turn the, there's like a gain knob. Just turn it up like to a quarter. Dude, you really get some sick tone. But I notice when it's not turned all the way up and it doesn't get really hot, it doesn't sound, it's a little shrilly. But if you let it like really get hot, you can get some good tone out of it. So that's a nice little thing to use too. And then the cab on that, I like the, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. What's the speaker company? They were putting their...
Celestion or...
Yeah, but it was, they made their own cabinets and they put those Celestions in there, you know, the greenbacks and stuff. Oh my goodness. Anyway. No, was it Avatar?
Oh, Avatar. Avatar's one of the bigger... Yeah, they make a lot of cabs. Avatar
okay,
does.
Okay, maybe it's Avatar. Yeah, so, you know, you get one of those and with those, it, again, if you like those... Well, some people like the Alnico, some like you like the greenbacks, you know, get some really good speakers in there. Cause to me, that's a big part of it. Cause if you have those, like if you buy a Marshall stack, the reg with the black face on there, you get those 75 watt, you know, I don't even know if they are Jensen's maybe. And they don't sound very good. And I don't want to rip on any company in particular, but I replace those right away. And just that it's to me is night and day. I mean, do you feel like the same with the experience? Why speakers are is an important part of that?
Oh, speakers are so speakers are so underrated in the tonal chase. I feel like lots of people, myself included, kind of ignore the speaker. But you know, we need to be honest with ourselves. Like in a traditional electric guitar rig, the speaker is the thing that actually making the physical sound. It's taking all of those electronic impulses and translating them into mechanical movement to make the sound. So arguably the speaker is one of the most important parts of the signal chain because it's actually making the sound.
And I
haven't done a ton of experimenting with it. You know, I usually if I get a cab that sounds good, I'm like, cool. But if I get one that sounds bad, I'm not going to buy it. So yeah. I'm not going to change the speakers in it. But that said, I do have this old 1961 Fender Champ that was my grandpa's. And it sounds really good, but you know how those things are. They can be a little bit farty and a little bit weird.
I love it, though.
And there's something, though, that always rubbed me the wrong way on certain things. but I put in an Alnico WGS G8A into there, and it took it still sounds like a champ, but it took all of the things that I didn't really like about it and toned them down a little bit, and the things I did like about it, it seemed to accentuate. So it was a really nice upgrade, and I still have the original speaker, and it's a plug and play. This in those amps is a plug and play deal, so it's not a big, you know, you're not hurting the value or anything.
Yeah,
but yes, easy. Speakers are important, very important.
Yeah, I mean, you can get speakers broken in. I would say too, if you're not like gigging out or going on tour, I wouldn't get them broken in personally. I'd like to break them in myself. But if you're like, hey, we're recording in 2 weeks, and you know, really time to really, you know, mash on them, you can get these from. And I like now that you say, yeah, I think it is Avatar. You can get them where they're already kind of, you know, broken in a little bit, and it to me it makes a difference. I didn't think it did, but to me it makes a difference when the speakers are right. You know, and because it's just, it's one thing having the right speaker, but it's also having it where it's been, it has, you know, some play on it because, you know, they can be a little stiff, you know, out of the box.
Yeah. Like literally stiff. Like it will feel stiff because the speaker itself is still not that flexible yet. Like actually mechanically, we use those terms a lot and they don't actually mean anything, you know, but like, oh, this guitar feels like the response on this amp feels stiff. And while that makes sense to us as players electronically, it doesn't mean anything. In this case, it actually is literally stiff. So
yeah, absolutely. And I would say, so as far as like amps go, that's where I'm at on that. You know, guitar wise, I was always like a Les Paul guy. I liked, you know, Les Pauls. I liked the way they felt, but something happened. I don't know. You know what it was? A guy had an American Strat that he was selling and needed the money or whatever. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I'll get it off of you. Something changed to me. And I was like, whoa. The sweet spot on this thing through, you know, like a Marshall or a Plexi or something. Oh my goodness. Like when you do that, you know, when you do that, something changes in the way you play, the way you want to hear it. So I kind of became a Fender guy. So I got, you know, got a couple American Strat, you know, got a Tele. And then, you know, it's weird actually. Before that, I bought this, do you know what Schecter guitars? Have you played one?
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah.
So I have one that's like one of their kind of up plus plus models, whatever. And, when I bought it, I was like so excited. It's actually kind of light too. Cause those Strats can kind of, especially my Tele. I don't think I can play a whole damn show with a Tele. It's so heavy. My shoulders actually ache. You know what I mean? Cause I like to jump and I got to prepare, man. When I'm jumping with a Tele, I got to think, okay, what guitar do I have on right now? You know what I mean? I don't know how Prince did it, jumping off the piano. Anyway, so this Schecter, I got it and I was like so excited. And then I got these Fenders and I was, it just never sounded, never again did it sound great. So I actually replaced the picks. I put like these, I think they're 57 Gibson pick. I think that's what I put in there. And it did beef it up some. So now that's my guitar that I put nines on. Cause I like to use tens. They're a little thicker. I feel like the tone, it's not a huge audible thing, but they're a little thicker. And, but if I'm trying to do Steve Vai stuff, or, you know, if I want to play like Rust in Peace Megadeth, I'm going to pick up that Schecter cause I got nines on it and I can bend that sucker fretboard, the front to back, you know what I mean? You can bend them all the way. And yeah, it's awesome. So now I use that for that. When I want to burn, that's a guitar I use. But when I want it like good tone or, you know, just kind of have more of a personality on a guitar, then I wouldn't use the Schecter, but I don't mean it in a bad way. It serves its purpose, but it just has more of that tone, Rust in Peace, you know, Countdown to Extinction tone than some of the stuff that I would prefer it sound like.
Right.
So, yeah. And then, you know,
do you play with many pedals or are you not really a pedal guy? I know you like to get your dirt from the amp, but you like to use other things.
Yeah. So, pedal board wise, I have the Crybaby, gotta have the Wah. The Wah is a dangerous thing because that can, like, I feel like it can become like a crutch. So I went through a period, I felt like all my solos I was going through the Wah, and I felt like, I don't know, now I'm not using it at home, maybe 10% of the show, but it got to a point I was using like 90% of the show because it is a little easier to fake through things. And if you played a couple shows close to each other, whatever, and you're just like kind of finger fatigue, it's easier with the Wah, and it sounds kind of weeny, but you know, I can hang on a string and I can let the Wah do the work. You know what I mean? I'm not really working that hard, and I know it sounds so bad, but it's just true. You know, it's one of those things. But then I feel like I was starting to get away from like really playing the instrument correctly. So, but that's actually, so that's in my chain. Of course, you know, you have your tuner. I like the Boss tuner. I'm just used to it. Effects wise, I still have the Carl Martin. I have the Plexitone. Mm-hmm. I don't use it as much as I used to, but I have it in my chain there. I like the tone. There is a nice boost though on that one. So if you're going to solo that, it is a really nice boost. I have the full tone, the fat boost. That thing, actually, I don't even put the gain that far up. I just like it on. To me, it just makes everything a little wider. I like the mm-hmm. way it sounds. I have a Pog. It's a Pog 2. You know, I like the weirdness of it. I like that, you know, you can almost make a sitar sound or an organ, you know, if you're really trying to be chill or do something kind of vibey. I think it can be really cool. And then my baby, my Electric Mistress. That's a Electro Harmonix.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
Favorite pedal. Oh, man. Because Andy Summers, you know, that whole Police thing. Dude, that is my...
That's the sound.
But that is... Yeah. That's it. I love it, man. I love that pedal. If anything happened to it, I'd be so crushed because I found an analog one. And I found it, I think it was eBay. And, you know, things can happen, you know? And I'm just like, I always knock on wood every time I use it. Like, please don't be the day that this thing stops working because it's awesome. You know what I mean? Because the new ones, the digital ones... They have a little bit of, I don't know, they have this, I don't even know what to know. It's not static, but there's a little bit of a something that comes along. I don't even know what it is. But anyways, there's a guy, I should have had this ready for you. I could have told you his name. Actually, you know what? I'll email you the guy's name, but he worked for Harmonix way back in the day. He knows how to mod these things so they don't do that. And yeah, I mean, he will do that. You got to send him the pedal. I mean, there's a turnaround time or whatever, but yeah, it's like those MXRs, those Phase 90s. Remember those orange pedals?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you kind of got to get that thing modded if you don't want that thing having that weird... It's almost like that. There's a weird sound that those things came with out of the box. And to me, like, I'm on the internet, you can find how to mod it, but I didn't really want to snip any wires. So I sent it to a guy I knew, hey, can you mod this thing so it stops that stupid noise that it's doing? And I got it back, and it's completely fine. It's clean, you know? But
nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's... I think it's all using, but then, you know, I have a box of pedals, like literally over the years. I'm sure you do too. You know, I'm sure everybody had the Metal Zone at one point.
Well, yeah, classic.
Yeah, you gotta have that. Yeah. What is it? The Ibanez, what is it? The TS-8, TS-9, both of those. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I, you know, a bunch of them, they come in and out. You know how it is? Like sometimes I'll fall in love for a while and then I'll fall out of love and then I'll put it back in the chain and say, oh man, how come I haven't been using this? I like the sound of it. And then, then the whole record has it on it, you know? And then hopefully 3 years later, you're like, oh, why did I use that pedal on the, you know, on it and stuff. But
right. Yeah. Why did I put phaser on everything? On the drums? What was I thinking? What exactly. Am I doing?
Do I really need a flange on the bass guitar right now? You know what I mean?
But maybe you do. Maybe you do.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, we've been talking for an hour, and it's flown by. It's been great.
Wow.
But I better get into my last two questions for the podcast, and we'll get you down the road because I know you've got things to do. So the first one, and you may have already answered this, but what is your favorite Boss pedal?
Oh, my favorite Boss pedal, besides the tuner, because the tuner is rock solid. Oh my gosh, it really is. Because I actually have had other tuners, and they're just I don't like them. I just like that one. But as far as Boss effect, you know what I like? They make a really good. I have it is an acoustic guitar simulator. It's a yellowish, kind of a darker yellowish color pedal.
Uh-huh.
That is a real good one. So if you don't want to have like use a DI and get the acoustic out and stuff, this is a really good thing to turn on. If you dial it in correctly, it will sound like an acoustic guitar. So I think that might be my favorite Boss pedal because of just the way it sounds. Yeah, it sounds genuine to me. It took a while though. Like it probably took, I don't know the days, but it took a little while for me to figure it out. Cause at first I was like, I hate it. You know, I took it out, but then like my buddy went to I think he went to a Rush show and Alex was using that. And so, you know, he's using it, you know, I'm doing something wrong. So then I kind of re-put it back in there. I was like, oh, okay. So I just messed with it for a while. And so I think that's it. The Boss acoustic.
All right, cool. All right, and this is the big question. This is the one that everybody waits the whole episode for.
Oh, boy.
What kind of pizza do you like?
Okay, wow, that's a very good question. Okay, so you're talking to a guy now that I've developed an allergy to beef. Okay, first, let me just disclose here. My whole life, hot dogs, hamburgers, steaks, filet mignon. I mean, favorite, if I had to pick one favorite food, it's a fat burger, right? Mm-hmm. But something happened. Yeah, I still haven't figured it out yet, but I can't eat beef. I like kind of my joints get really sore and I don't feel great. So,
oh no.
Yeah. So with pizza, it's terrible. It's like the worst thing in the world for somebody that loves hamburgers, right?
I don't care if it's
Wendy's. Yeah. Or like a fat burger place. If I'm in a different city, I want to try out the burger, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like really upset about it, but you adapt, right? So
right,
anyway,
right.
So my pizzas now, I can't get them cut because if the guy cuts through a sausage, a pepperoni, and then cuts my pizza, I'm going to feel sick. So I actually have to get a pizza now with I get green peppers and onions. Reason why I'm telling you all this, because I don't want people to think this guy does not know how to eat pizza. No, I know how to eat pizza, man. I can't do it. And I want to. So it's pepperoni and green peppers. No. I mean, it's green peppers and onions, but no pepperoni. I can only have it that way and uncut. I got to cut the stupid thing myself.
Gotcha. Wow. That's interesting. Even the oils from another pizza. That's rough. That'd be hard to avoid. You know, you couldn't almost have anybody cook anything for you. Is that accurate?
Yes. So going out to a restaurant has been difficult. If I go to like a Mexican restaurant, I'm like getting, you know, bean burritos and stuff. For me, it was always getting deep fried tacos, man. I destroy a whole plate of those. You know, I can't do them. I can't do it anymore. So if I'm out to eat, if they cook, they're like, hey, have a veggie burger. And I'm not a vegetarian. I can still eat bacon, which is weird. I can still eat pork, which I haven't figured this out, but I don't like pork as much as I like beef. Right. So they're like, hey, we got this great veggie burger. The problem is it's cooked on the same place the hamburger was. I'm going to get sick. So I can't do that. You know, I got to stick to safe stuff, but oh, well, you know,
have an effect in the joints. You got to be able to play, you know?
No, that's true. Because actually, one day I must have had something that got dipped in something happened, and I was actually recording the next day. So that morning I woke up and I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I was doing guitar stuff. I made it through it, but it was really painful. Like the next couple of days, my fingers were really hurting. So I was like, yeah, that was stupid. I should have just had a salad. Like I said at the top of your show, salad. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm eating so much darn salad, is because it's just safe. I wash it, I put cucumbers and tomatoes, and the kid is right. It's all good.
Yeah, you're going to feel fine when you get done with the salad, which is,
yeah,
that's important. You got to feel good.
Yeah, man. What about you, man? What's your favorite pizza?
Oh, man. Yeah, I get that thrown back at me once in a while. It you know, I love a really good New York style slice. I really, really get a lot of enjoyment out of that. I was skeptical for a really long time about it. You know, I was like, I would see pictures of it, and I'm like, it looks like pizza. Like, I don't understand what's so special about it. Then I got there, I tried a couple of them, and I was instantly like, oh, I understand now. I understand. So yeah, I really like New York style pizza in New York, if I can at all make that happen. But I also like wood fired, you know, Italian style joints and things like that. So
it's funny you say, because I like a lot of New York kinds. Is the best. No, it's, I think the Chicago style is like completely overrated because it's like too much dough. And I'm Midwest, so you got to love, you know, Chicago pizza. I don't like it. I like New York style. And it's funny you say being New York, because I'm actually going to New York here in a couple days, some music stuff. And yeah, you know what? We were just talking about that. It's like, Tommy, you got to get New York pizza when you're there. I'm like, I do have to get pizza, except they can't cut it. You know what I mean? Right. They're going to look like I'm an idiot. But yes, absolutely. So this time on Sunday, your boy here, he's going to be eating New York style pizza, but veggie.
Nice. I mean, that, see, really though, you know, it's like, for me, the New York style slice, it's like, I'm sometimes happiest with just a cheese slice, you know,
there you go.
And that sounds weird from a guy who likes meat. Like, I love meat, but man, a cheese slice done right.
Ooh, heck yeah, man.
It gets me in the spot, but well, yeah. We should probably wrap this thing up. We've been at it for a while. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the interwebs?
Okay. You know, Twitter, actually all the handles are Tommy Mars Band. So TommyMarzBand. So you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram that way, the website that way. Yeah, I think that's it, man. That's the best. And really, honestly, I say this on my podcast, is it really is the best place to get me is tweet at me on Twitter, because sometimes with the DMs, and I'm sure you have this too, if sometimes I get a little crowded and I don't see everything, and sometimes I go through a delete thing where I'm just like, ah, my gosh, there's, you know, 300 messages. I'm just, you know, that sounds really bad of me, doesn't it? Now I said out loud, I feel like a jerk. Okay, just at me. If you just at me, it's the easiest place, honestly, and I will respond. Even if you're a jerk, I'm going to respond because I'll respond with a nice hello.
Okay, well, that's good. So you can find him on Twitter. I'm never on there, so find me on Instagram.
Awesome. Cool, man. Cool.
All right, man. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Tommy. This was great.
Thank you, man. All right. It's been a pleasure. And thanks again. And I'm sure we'll be talking in the future sometime soon.
Of course. Of course. For Tommy, this is Blake. And as always, folks, good luck and good tones. All right. We did it. We did it. Make sure you go check out Tommy on the various socials. And of course, check out his show, Sound Vapors. Pretty easy to find. Do a little searching. Tommy Mars Sound Vapors into whatever search tool you're using will bring it up. I checked it. Okay, I didn't check all of them. I just checked Google. But Google, that's what everybody uses anyway. So, last thing for this podcast is, hey, apparently a lot of you listened to this because I had about 25 or 30 people try to claim the pizza, and I can't even imagine how many of you there would have been who decided not to, you know, not to try because it had already been like 3 days or whatever. But yeah, first couple days, there was a lot of emails flying around there and some messages and stuff. But yeah, free pizza apparently brings everybody together, but was able to get a few folks pizza for listening to their podcast. So make sure you listen to this thing to the end. You never know what kind of little sneaky sneakeroo I might put in there. All right, folks, I will talk to you next time and all that jazz. Later. One last thing before we totally sign off here. I just want to remind you that if you do any shopping at Stringjoy, that's Stringjoy Guitar Strings made in Nashville, that will help me out as well. As I've said for years, I'm heavily involved in that company, and I really do think they're making the best products on the market. So if you would like to try custom strings, go to tonemob.com/stringjoy and check them out today. I seriously love what the team down there is doing. I help them out with all kinds of things. And by you supporting them, you are also supporting me as well. And hey, you need some strings, so why not get some custom strings just for your guitar and playing style? Again, the link for that is tonemob.com/stringjoy, and that will take you right to their website, and you can do all your shopping through there, and that will help everyone involved out. So thank you very much. Talk to you next time. We are brought to you by the wonderful folks at Gun Street Wiring Shop. Yes, Gun Street Wiring Shop. I've talked about them before. I used to say based out of Bend, Oregon, but guess what? Sean moved to my neck of the woods. Sean's in Portland. Sean is awesome and has helped me with a bunch of stuff lately. And if you have wiring needs for your guitar, he can help you too. If you want to get weird with it, he can get weird. If you just need to spruce things up a little bit, there's your guy. He takes all the guesswork out of doing your guitar wiring, and he makes it simple, and his customer service is top-notch, and I can't say enough good things about Gun Street as a company. I really respect Sean and what he's all about, and the product is top-notch. I've got 3 different guitars that now have Gun Street harnesses in them, and I could not be happier. So go to GunStreetWiringShop.com and check them out.